compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. This is Ken Hensley filling in for the maestro, Patrick Madrid. And this is going to be the last time that I'll be filling in, at least for a little while. I'm taking off tomorrow to lead a pilgrimage trip to the Holy Land. I've got a busload of people, many of them converts to the Catholic faith, a couple of Protestant ministers who have just been brought into the faith. And I would ask for your prayers that that'll be a wonderful pilgrimage and a life-changing time for them. You know what? We were talking about miracles, and I had mentioned several times in the last hour that I'm always asking God, perform a miracle, because I'm that man who cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. In so many ways in my life, I need more faith. I need more hope. I need more love, and I want miracles to help me to have that. Well, in the last hour, I definitely needed a miracle, because near the end, in the middle of the last caller, my entire computer system just failed. It just shut down and went black on me. So I couldn't see any of the calls that have come in. I couldn't see anything that I had in front of me. And so if it seemed like I was stumbling around in the dark for a moment or two, I was stumbling around in the dark. But anyway, thankfully, things are back up here running. If you want to be on the Patrick Madrid Show, the number here is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And we have a bunch of calls. So let's go first of all to Tom in Vermont. Tom has been on the line holding the longest. Tom in Vermont, you are on the Patrick Madrid Show. Welcome, Tom.
Good morning, Ken. I want to share with you something really remarkable that happened with the Blessed Sacrament and the Monstrance while I was on a journey of discernment, doing very private Eucharistic adoration on my knees, just literally 3 or 4 feet from our Lord Jesus. I was staring at the host and the glass in front of it, of course, when probably a cloud passed from the sun, and the sun outside the church came streaming through the stained glass window behind me. I didn't figure out where this came from, but as I was praying, at the time I didn't figure it out, I figured it out later. At the time I was praying, I saw the most beautiful image of Jesus himself and in the Sacred Heart of Jesus just take shape on the glass of the Monstrance right before my eyes. And I was so astonished, because I had been praying intently, asking for affirmation on my journey of discernment toward holy orders. And it was so astonishing. And then I had no idea how this could happen. I assumed it was supernatural. But two things happened. In my heart, I received the affirmation I was looking for. And then the words to a song, "But Christ in Me Arise" by Trevor Thompson, came to my mind. And St. Juan Diego's experience with Our Lady of Guadalupe came to mind.
Right, right.
Where Juan Diego himself was reflected in the pupil of Our Lady in the image. And I thought to myself, well, if this is Christ, and of course it is, and he's looking at me and I'm looking at him, he's seeing Christ in me. He's seeing something good in me, and he's affirming it. It was so incredible.
So, Tom, are you pursuing holy orders? Or were
I'm
you?
Discerning, yes. Yes.
You still just. So how long ago did this event occur?
Probably 3 years.
3 years ago.
Roughly. I don't remember precisely. I have it written down in my journals, of course, but off the top of my head, I want to say 3 years maybe, something along those lines.
Well, that's quite amazing. And all I can say is, again, I'm looking up at the Lord as you're talking, and I'm saying, Lord, can I have something like that? I would love to have a couple of those.
You know, it was just the coolest thing, because that particular stained glass window, nobody ever notices.
Right.
It's a peaked roof in this old-fashioned church.
Right.
And way up in the peak, above the pipe organ, in the top of the church, is this perfectly round stained glass window with the image of Jesus and the Sacred Heart. And it's so high up there that you wouldn't pay attention. But somehow, the sunlight miraculously lined up perfectly
beyond that
stained glass to project that image right onto the host at just that moment.
Right, right.
It was incredible.
So you could say it was fully a natural occurrence, the sunlight coming through the window, the time of the day, the exact thing. But you kind of know that it was a message to you. It was something for you.
It's exactly what I had been asking for in prayer so intently. I'd been on my knees for 30 minutes by that point. And you mentioned in you mentioned a moment ago that you wished you had a camera. I did. I had my iPhone in my pocket, and I just snapped a picture. Ran to the rectory next door and showed it to the priest. He shared in my joy.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about if you'd had a camera when Jesus was alive, would it have been a sin to take a photo of him and have an image,
right.
You know? And does that somehow contradict the commandment to have no other gods? No.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Tom, thanks for coming on the line, and thanks for sharing your story today. Thanks so much, Tom. And make sure to call back anytime. Patrick Madrid will be here, happy to answer questions. The number is 888-914-9149. Let's go to Tracy in Lexington, Kentucky. Tracy, you're on the Patrick Madrid Show. Tracy, are you there?
Hello there.
Is this Tracy from Lexington?
Bueller.
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 You know, that's a...
I guess she's not picking up.
I guess Tracy disappeared, but you're reminding me of something. Cyrus is kind of a crack up. The Bueller. Ben Stein and his performance on the...
Yeah, it's classic. One of the all-time classic performances.
Well, maybe I'll go into depth on this at some point, but my wife, Tina, actually became Ben Stein's personal assistant, and she worked with him for about 10 years. And so Ben used to call my house, and when I'd pick up the phone, it'd be, "Hello, Kenny. This is..."
That's awesome.
He called me Kenny, so I was, "Hello, Kenny, this is Ben Stein. Is the lovely Tina at home?"
That's amazing.
And, you know, as I understand it, the story is he wasn't an actor or anything, but he was hanging around the set. He knew some people on the set of that movie, what's called Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
Okay, now, you know, I'll have to double-check this because it's been a long time, but my memory is that the director just heard him talking. And said, "Who is this guy with this voice?
I am just the role for him."
Yeah. And since he had studied economics, Ben Stein had gotten his degree from Yale.
Voodoo economics.
Yeah. Hey, you do pretty good. You do it pretty good. Anyway.
Well, I've seen it enough times.
You know, I'll share more of that story later when the time comes. Is Tracy on the phone? I see her call still up here.
I am.
All right. What happened to you? Did you take off? Did you run away?
I pressed the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you on the Patrick Madrid Show, Tracy. What's on your mind?
Well, I loved the story of your grandson and his basketball and Jesus, and it brought to mind about the real presence. And so I'm 62, and I've been raised Catholic, but I believe I had a Protestant view of the Eucharist and the real presence. Mm-hmm. I really didn't understand the real presence. So in pursuit of my faith, I'm attending adoration, and I'd gone in one day, and the monstrance was covered, so I knew to take the cover off, so I walked up to it, and I'm lifting that little white cover very gently, and as I did this, a light began to shine from inside, like it,
more
and
miracles.
It was moving around. Exactly, and I'm looking. There's no light source in there, you know, other than the Eucharist. So I'm like, I can't explain it. But anyway, I noticed after I got the cover off and I put it in its box, I noticed that the little round door to where the host is held was ajar. So I thought, well, I'll just gently close that with one finger. And as I did that, a shock of energy like went through my body, and I began to feel sort of a panicky fear. And then I remembered, wait a minute, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Don't be afraid. This is Jesus. And so later I learned, I didn't know that you're not really supposed to touch the monstrance or the, that's why it's covered. And, I didn't know any of that at the time. So it just reminded me of the woman who had touched Jesus's robe. And he said, "Who's touching me?" Because he felt the energy go out of him.
Right.
And so I just think it's great to continue to tell, you know, instances of the real presence, because even a person who was born and raised Catholic like me and not catechized very well hasn't understood that. But I do now.
Yes, well, that's a great story, and you're right. It needs to be taught. It needs to be insisted upon. Since I came from an evangelical background as well, Tracy, and, you know, to me, it was a shock when I began to read the early church fathers, and it began to become apparent to me that this had been, that is the Catholic view, that this had been the faith of Christians from the very beginning. Here's one quotation from Justin Martyr, who was the great apologist of the second century. This is what he said about the Eucharist, writing around 155, 160 AD. He says, "Not as common bread or common drink do we receive these, but since Jesus Christ, our Savior, was made incarnate by the Word of God and had both flesh and blood for our salvation, so too, as we have been taught, the food that has been made into the Eucharist by the Eucharistic prayer, and by the change of which our blood and flesh is nurtured, is both the flesh and blood of that incarnated Jesus." And here I am, Tracy, reading through the early church fathers, and I believe that it's just the Lord's Supper, it's just a symbolic meal, there's nothing more to it, you know? That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading through the early church fathers, and I'm hearing one after another say, no, there's a change that takes place. There's a miracle that occurs when the words of consecration are spoken. And what we are receiving is the body and blood of Christ. In fact, St. Ignatius referred to the Eucharist as the medicine of immortality. What a phrase, the medicine of immortality. Well, listen, Tracy, it's great to have you on the show today. Have you ever been on the Patrick Madrid Show before?
I haven't, but I love it.
First-time caller. Well, call back and listen, make sure you stay on the radio even as you leave the call, because there's going to be a special announcement. It's about 15 minutes away, a very special announcement regarding the shrine, or the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. There's going to be an historic press conference with Bishop David Ricken of the Diocese of Green Bay, with live commentary from Father Rocky and Drew Mariani, and that's coming up in about 15 minutes. So make sure you stay on the radio. Let's go to Fern calling from Granton, Wisconsin.
Hi.
Hi, Fern. You're on the show.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about the miracle that occurred in the Bible with Thomas.
Right.
when the disciples were in the room and Jesus appeared, Thomas wasn't there. And so when later on they were on the road with Thomas, and they said, "We've seen the Lord." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to believe that until I put my finger here and my hand there."
Right.
And they said, "Well, okay." So they fast forward. Now they're in the room again, and Jesus appears, and he says, "Peace be with you." And he looks to Thomas. He says, "Come here. Put your hand here and your finger there." Now, Thomas was surprised to see him, but then I think what floored him was what he said, because Jesus was buried and gone. He was taken out of the picture. So it was like a miracle, because then he knew that Jesus was God. That's why he said, "My Lord and my God," because he recognized him as God, because only God could have heard him say that. And it's so beautiful, because it wasn't even a prayer. It was just a comment. So just think, you can even think your thoughts, and God will hear your prayers. He hears your worries. He hears your fears. So, you know, people that are in doubt, does he hear me? Yes, he does hear you. Okay? He does hear you.
Fern, are you a preacher?
No.
That was a fantastic short homily right there. It was.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. You're right. You know, they tell Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And he's just thinking, no way. He's dead. He's buried. He's in the cave. No way.
Right.
And then Jesus just suddenly shows up. And when Jesus looks at him and says, "Here, put your hand," as you said, it's a realization all at once. That, wow, the Lord saw me, the Lord heard me, what I said before. Lord can read, you know, yeah, that's very beautiful. You know what, I wanted to comment on something else quickly. I have never met anyone named Fern. That's your first name?
Yes.
Yeah, well, my daughter, my daughter just had identical twin girls 11 months ago.
Oh.
And yeah, they live right down the street from me, so I see them all the time. And she named them Fern and Junia. So one of them's named Fern. Yeah, and when I first heard that, I thought, oh, there goes my hippie daughter, you know, giving a hippie name to a little girl. But I love the name now. You know, that's how it all always is. Once you know the person, then you begin to love the name, right?
My grandpa wanted my dad to name me that because he loved the woods so much.
Oh, really?
That's why.
I mean, it is a beautiful name when you think about it. Ferns are just very beautiful, green, lush, life.
If you Google ferns, there are many different types of fern plants, too. Millions.
Really?
There's a lot. Yep, there's a lot of different. There's a rabbit foot fern. That's a really cute plant. And there's a lot of different ferns. There is.
Okay, here we have a Catholic fern. Here we have a Catholic fern.
Yes, we have a Catholic fern, yes. But you have another one.
Listen, though, that was great what you shared about Thomas there and the miracle occurring. And you're right. It wasn't, I mean, maybe it was a little bit of a prayer, but it was more of just a statement. It was more of just a human response to the shocking realization that Jesus was alive. And that Jesus was there the week before and did hear what I said, and now here he is. And so, you know, Thomas looks at him and just says, "My Lord and my God," which I kind of hear in that the whole thing. You are the Lord, you are God here in the flesh, and you heard what I said a week ago, and yeah, I'm repenting, basically. I'm repenting for having doubted you. And then Jesus says, "Blessed are those." Listen, we're going to go to a short break now, and I want you to stay on the phone or stay listening on Relevant Radio on the app, because we're going to have a historic announcement coming up right after this break.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you today. We are going to break into the Patrick Madrid Show just for a few moments here. I'm Drew Mariani. We have a huge announcement to make. I'm joined by the Chief Executive Officer here and host of the Family Rosary Across America, Father Frank Hoffman. Father Rocky, good morning.
Drew, it's great to be with you. Thank you. You got up early today. What time did you get up? 8 o'clock?
About 15 minutes ago. Just rolled in.
That's great. Well, I wanted to come into the studio as well. Thank you, Cyrus, for being the producer of this. And yes, we're expecting in about 10 minutes, the Bishop of Green Bay is going to make an announcement from the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help out in Champion, Wisconsin. Drew, when was the first time you heard about that? When did you move to Green Bay?
You know, I moved to Green Bay in 2004. And it was interesting because prior to ever getting radio, I studied Marian apparitions. I did a documentary on one. I traveled the world, was present during, you know, actual apparitions. And I never knew about this apparition until probably 2004. And I didn't even go to the shrine until 2005.
Is that right? Right, so when I came up there in 2009, Margaret Kleinschmidt, who's my assistant, said, "Father, did you hear that Our Lady appeared about 20 miles from here in the woods?" I'd never heard of it before. Now, as a priest, you hear all sorts of things, right? You hear that Our Lady appeared under a viaduct on the Kennedy Expressway in Chicago. You heard
that
statue was weeping, that Our Lady appeared on the window of a bank down in Florida. Yeah. And many of these things, you know, they turn out not to be true. But I was respectful, but I was very skeptical. Yeah, I said, "No kidding." But then I started kind of gathering information, and I found out that Father John Durfler, who was a chancellor of the diocese and vicar general, was also the rector of the shrine. Yeah. And if you know anything about Father John Durfler, who's now Bishop Durfler from up in northern Michigan, he's like the world's most prudent man.
Oh, I know.
Most prudent man. I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe this isn't something wild and bizarre. So finally, I would say 9 months later, I drove out there in May. I said, "I'm going to go out there and pray a rosary." And there it is on a country road tucked in between two active dairy farms.
Yeah.
And as soon as I walked into the chapel, I had a sense, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I noticed is that the floor was sparkling clean. They take good care of the place. Second thing I noticed was the tabernacle was right in the center of the main altar with a little veil on it, and it sparkled.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, there's real care for the Holy Eucharist here. Then I saw the confessional. I didn't see anything unusual going on, just, you know, people quietly praying, and I thought, wow, this is really something. Anyone who's ever gone there comes away with a sense of, a great sense of peace at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. And so the new bishop, Bishop Ricken, and when he came in 2007 or so, the previous bishop said, you know, maybe you ought to appoint a theological commission to study what's going on out there. So they did, three of the theologians. They studied it very carefully for 2 years. And they came to a conclusion that the events and occurrences and locutions that took place there in 1859, October 1859, are of supernatural origin. There's no other way to explain what's going on for the last 150 years, 160 years. And then they declared that it's worthy of belief, although not obligatory, right? Right. It's not part of deposit of the faith. But right. And we were there. Remember that?
Yeah.
Hey, this is huge, that he's going to actually approve the apparition. This has never happened in the United States before, or even in Canada.
Yeah, to be part of something as momentous and significant as that day, where, look, this is the only church-approved apparition site in the entire nation.
Right, and you studied these things.
And we were there. And the feast, it was what, December 8th, right? The feast of the Immaculate Conception.
December 8th, 2010.
It was a grace-filled day.
And the place was packed. Yep. And I remember that day, we were broadcasting live. I actually made a video from the whole thing. And I saw Michael Lee there. Michael Lee, I met. Yeah. He was a religious education teacher at one of the parishes in Green Bay. I said, Michael, why are you here? He said, oh, didn't you know this is where my brother Tommy was cured?
Wow.
I said, you never told me the story. He said, oh, yeah, it was a long time ago, maybe 60 years ago. He was 8 years old, and he had headaches. My parents took him to the hospital, and they realized he had a tumor that was growing in his head. And they said, there's nothing they could do for him. You know, the tumor's going to grow, and the poor boy's going to die. So my father would come out here every month on First Friday, put little Tommy on his shoulders, and walk around the perimeter of the property praying the rosary. And after 8 months, when they took him to the doctor, the tumor was gone. So we always knew Our Lady of Good Help here in Champaign, Wisconsin, cured my brother Tommy. And then we started hearing all sorts of testimonials. You heard them yourself.
I think that's the touch, Father, the mark of that supernatural that the bishop talked about when he approved it. The healings are off the charts, and they're not just physical. I mean, there's lots of incredible physical healings. Back after the apparitions took place, there were stories of, I remember a five-year-old girl. It was a niece of one of the sisters that was in the convent, I believe it was Sister Adele. She was kicked in the face by a horse, and the mother saw her bleeding daughter and decided to take her to the shrine immediately and ask the intercession of the Mother of God. And she was miraculously cured, totally cured. After going to the chapel, the physician said she suffered no internal injuries, no physical side effects. The girl became a religious years later. There were others who received sight, who received the ability to walk. This is back right after these visions took place. And then across the decades, we continue to hear that. And there have been restoration of relationships, as you know, miracles of fertility. There has been radical conversion, which is the greatest of all the miracles that take place, amongst many others.
Right. And it's entrusted to the good fathers of mercy. So there's mass there every day. There's confessions every day. There's devotions. And there's moments when it's really jam-packed, and the moments, if you hit it right, you kind of got the place to yourself, right? I've been there many, many, many times. And I remember that day, December 8th, 2010. Yeah. It was a real festive atmosphere.
Yeah.
A lot of joy there. A lot of joy. And somebody came up to me afterwards. So, well, what do you think is going to happen now that the apparition has been approved? Yeah. I said, well, Bishop Brickin said Our Lady will kind of figure it out. I said, I think what's going to immediately happen is you're going to have more people stopping by here, because it's on the way from Chicago to Door County. Door County has 2 million visitors in the summer. And people always buy candles. And then the accountant came out of me. I said, and those are high gross margin. So they'll have some more money. I think the first thing they do, they're going to build visitor bathrooms, because they really didn't have it. And that's the first thing they did. And I said, I think the next thing to do is they're going to expand the driveway and pave it. And that's what they've done. Yeah. And then a couple of years ago, they built that big hall. Good seat. Yeah. I don't know what, 2,000 people?
Yep.
Divine Mercy Hall, is that what it's called?
Divine Mercy Hall. I gave one of the first talks there on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Right. So I imagine that's where the press conference will take place today.
Yeah.
And that's been a place where we have the masses on the day of the Walk to Mary. We used to have one mass in a little chapel, because when we started 10 years ago, I think 200 people came the first year. Yep. This year, they're expecting 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people. There'll be several masses that day. And it grows organically, which is the most important thing, right?
Yeah. There was 190,000 visitors to the shrine last year alone. So you could see it growing.
Sure.
You can see it getting bigger. And it was interesting. They have a map. I don't know if it's still located there, but you see where people have come from the heart of Africa, from Australia, from all over the planet, people are coming to this site. So if you've never been there, you really should check it out. To your point, like, you went there for the very first time and your encounter was one, a great piece. I had the same encounter. I remember being present actually during an apparition in Rwanda, Africa, the Mother of God. And the takeaway from it was, it's like the veil that separates heaven and earth is just a little thinner at this place. You could feel this outpouring of peace, this outpouring of grace there. And when you go and pray, you get lost in that prayer. So I just think it's extraordinary. I think those numbers, 190,000, are low. I think this will one day be a national shrine, an international shrine. And I think people from all over the world are going to stream here, because there's a tremendous parallel between this apparition site and Lourdes.
It's 1 year afterwards. Our Lady said, I am the Immaculate Conception. Here in 1859, Our Lady said to Sister Adele, I am the Queen of Heaven.
Yep.
Who prays for the conversion of sinners. I want you to do the same. So the origin of Our Lady's existence is the Immaculate Conception. The terminus of her existence is Queen of Heaven. And it's very, very simple. I remember we drove out there in, I want to think it was February 2011. We were trying to get the final piece of a down payment to buy our station in Chicago. And, I guess we're going to go ahead.
Yeah, no, Father, thank you. Pick that thought up when we come back. The spokesman for the bishop is coming. Huge announcement to follow. Let's go to Bishop David Ricken.
For this exciting morning, thank you to all stations who have taken the time to be here. It's an exciting day. To begin, I would like to introduce Father John Girardi. He is the Vicar General of the Diocese of Green Bay and the President of the National Shrine.
Good morning, everyone. For over 163 years, the place where we are standing now and where I am speaking from has been an oasis of healing, joy, and peace. It was here on October 9th of 1859 that we believe that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to a young Belgian woman named Adele Brice. In part, Mary said, I am the Queen of Heaven. Teach the children to pray in this wild country and pray for the conversion of sinners. Go and fear nothing. I will help you. From that moment, this place has become, for those of us in the northeastern Wisconsin and for those more recently now in the entire world, a place of peace where people can bring their sorrows, their hopes, and meet God. The healing presence of Jesus is here. We all feel that this morning. We experience it. It is here where His Mother Mary brings us closer to Jesus. Soon after the apparitions, which happened in 1859, a chapel was built on these grounds, and successively different chapels through the past years have been built. Every August 15th, and every October 9th, there have been gatherings of the faithful here and people who are seeking God, and they've come to pray. This continues to this very day. About 12 years ago, Bishop David Ricken, the Bishop of the Diocese of Green Bay, on December 8th, 2010, declared that the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary that took place here are worthy of belief. This was the result of an exhaustive study with three Mariological experts over the course of many years that looked into what happened in this place. And so for these past 12 years, we have believed worthily that the Blessed Virgin Mary did appear here. From that moment until the present, the numbers of pilgrims to this shrine have grown exponentially. This year alone, we've experienced 150,000 people who have come here. We expect soon that number to surpass 200,000. Already, this place is one of the most frequented locations in the state of Wisconsin for people from outside our area to come to worship, to pray. Many people come here who are Catholic, but many of our brother and sister Christians also make a pilgrimage to this holy place. Individuals of different religions come here to pray, and men and women of goodwill also happen by to this place of healing and peace. Today, the shrine remains the first and only officially declared site of Marian apparition in the United States. This is indeed a very special place. It remains what it always has been, a place of healing, a place of peace, a place of holiness, a place where we can take the challenges of life to God and ask God to bless us and help us. It is here, in this unique and gentle way, that the Blessed Virgin Mary, over these past 163 years, has brought us closer to her Son, Jesus. And so, as we reflect on all of these things, we have a very special announcement today, and we're blessed to have Bishop Ricken with us to share this happy news of the next chapter of this holy place, this shrine to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Bishop Ricken.
Thank you very much, Father Girardi, and thank you all for being here this morning. This indeed is a happy and a momentous occasion that we're going today make a special announcement about a change that's happening in regard to our shrine. I would like to read a formal decree which I have prepared after lots of consultation and also checking with Rome and the appropriate offices there about what's going to be happening on October 9th of this coming year. By the grace of God and the authority of the Apostolic See, I, the Bishop of Green Bay, decree, the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help has been a sacred place of special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary since October 9th, 1859. Whereas I formally approved and declared the apparition of 1859 as worthy of belief on December 8th in 2010, whereas having carefully considered the law and the facts, and having carefully studied the statutes of the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, Incorporated, issued on December 1st, 2011, and whereas in 2016 the shrine was designated as a national shrine by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and whereas having received acknowledgments from the dicastery, that means the department, for divine worship and the discipline of the sacraments in Rome on December 15th, 2022, stating that individual churches can by right celebrate the anniversary of their dedication as well as of their title with the rank of a solemnity. Therefore, at the Shrine of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Champion, the anniversary of her apparition will be celebrated as a high holy day of solemnity each year on October 9th, thus nurturing the devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary at the shrine, respecting the norms of Candelaria Particularia, which is a Latin term for the particular liturgical calendar. And given that our Blessed Mother's appearance to Adele Bryce was at a location here, Champion, Wisconsin, and in conformity with the proper terminology associated with Marian apparition sites of this level of approval throughout the world, I hereby, by means of this decree, make a change in the title of Our Lady of Good Help to the Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, given at the Chancery in Green Bay, Wisconsin, April 20th, 2023. So I'll explain a little bit more about that, but just before I do that, I'd like to unveil the new logo that you can look at, and it's right here.
And for those of you who are listening and can't see it, there's the new logo.
So that very simple logo helps us a lot to understand a little bit about what's happening. But I'd like to share a little bit about this process. This is not something that you do overnight. It takes time. And Rome has procedures and processes for this type of an approval, and this now the step we just took as well, in order to make sure that people are on solid ground and not to call any question into what has happened here, but to help people around the world to know about it a little bit more. You know, Mary doesn't appear just as a supernatural reality. She appeared here as the Queen of Heaven, and she, I call it touching down, but that's not, she didn't touch the ground. But she appeared to this young Belgian immigrant here, right over in the chapel area where that is. That's where she appeared. And she was very concrete in the messages that she gave. I hope you have a chance to read those messages, and sometime we'll have a chance to go over them. They're very simple, all about children, catechizing the children, teaching the children, and going into this wild country kind of as a missionary to bring Jesus, to bring Mary, to teach them the sign of the cross, to teach them what's necessary for salvation and for the sacraments. So this is such a simple, beautiful message, and is it ever appropriate for today? And so it's really incumbent upon us to let the world know about this and to share that the Blessed Mother touched down here. She appeared here. They call that an apparition, but that word means she appeared here. So also the organization that I mentioned from Rome is called a dicastery. That means a department of divine worship and discipline of the sacraments. They help local bishops to make decisions. They also set guidelines and procedures for us to follow in the masses that we have. So what's the difference for us on October 9th? From now on October 9th, we will celebrate a special, beautiful mass right here on the grounds, probably a large mass, where we really thank the Blessed Mother for all she has done and is doing. Now, the Blessed Mother is not God. She is a servant of God, but she's also the mother of Jesus. That makes her the mother of God, because he was both God and man, totally. And so she is the best and the first of all disciples. If you want to go quickly to Jesus, you can go right through Mary, because she knew him better than anybody, and she helps us along the way. So in that beautiful mass we'll have here right on the grounds from now on, that'll be our central feast day and celebration in honor of Our Lady of Champion. Why did I make this change? Why was this part of the planning, etc.? Because other apparitions throughout the world, let me mention Our Lady of Lourdes in France, Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal, Our Lady of Knock in Ireland, those were all apparitions of the Blessed Mother, usually to young people, children very often, or young adults, as in the case here in Champion. Adele was a young adult woman. And she had come here because she wanted to help her parents to get established here. She had really hoped to be able to join a religious community in a town called Campion, which is French for Champion. And when the people here in the community asked her what she would like a close by community to be called, she said Champion. So there's a lot of significance to the town, to the place, which is so insignificant in the ways of the world, but very significant as far as the fact that she came here. So this is very like her. She comes to young people, she comes in out-of-the-way places, and she makes a huge mark very quietly, very humbly, and one of the fruits that you know she's around is the gift of peace, healings that people report. Wonderful ways she brings families together. Here it was the custom for young couples, when they would be engaged, they'd come before the shrine here and engage one another, ask one another for it to be engaged to marriage right here at the shrine. What a beautiful custom. So there's so many beautiful things that have happened here over the years, and this new stage of calling her Our Lady of Good Help by the title Our Lady of Champion will really help make it more concrete, which we're going to refer to this place now from now on, and it will have a much more outreaching respectability and outreach, and that's the reason, that's another reason we're doing that. So I think this will be very helpful, not just to people here, but around the world, to understand that this is a great invitation. Remember, Mary is not God. She's the mother of God. She knew him best. What better person to go to whom we know is in heaven, than the mother of the Son of God. Phenomenal. So thank you all for coming. And I think Chelsea's going to lead us in some questions and answers, or ask for you for questions.
That's Bishop David Ricken, the 12th bishop of the Diocese of Green Bay, and the bishop who formally approved the apparitions now known as Our Lady of Champion. I'm Drew Mariani, along with Father Rocky, who's the host of the Family Rosary Across America and the CEO here at Relevant Radio. Father, very significant. The big announcement, of course, is a name change. And as the bishop was pointing out, you know, I think of Our Lady. She came in Fatima as Our Lady of the Rosary. She came in Rwanda, Africa, as Mother of the Word. Here she came as the Queen of Heaven. And now this site will be known as Our Lady of Champion, just like Guadalupe or La Salette or any other major apparition site. Also, October 9th will be a very significant day there. The bishop talked about how that'll be a high holy day, how thousands will hopefully gather, large crowds, he said, along with Mass. And it'll be, I guess, the official day now for Our Lady of Champion.
That's right. It was on October 9th, 1871, that the city of Chicago burned down and northern Wisconsin burned down, and anyone who got to the shrine was saved. So there's that huge historical miracle there, which is a matter of fact, and it's on the record. I got to tell you, Drew, I didn't see this coming, that there'd be a name change, but the way the bishop explains it, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because not everyone is used to the title Our Lady of Good Help. It comes from the French, Bon Secours, right? Yeah. French is very close to Belgian name, and there are other titles there. I know during COVID, I had to tell people when praying to Our Lady of Good Health, I had to spell that word out, H-E-A-L-T-H, because that's a different image of Our Lady in a church in Rome to distinguish from help. But there'll be no mistaking this term, Our Lady of Champion.
I like it. It's going to grow on me.
That little village in Belgium, Compiègne, and this little village out there. And it really puts on the map, and it rises to the rank of something like Lourdes or Fatima or Knock or Guadalupe or La Salette. That's the local place. So that's a big thing, and it's a sign of how this is growing in terms of the popular piety of the people. Yeah. One thing I wrote down from the bishop, he said, let the world know about it, and that's exactly what we do at Relevant Radio. That's our mission, to get that word out to the whole world. He mentioned that in 2016, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops declared it a national shrine. So now it's the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion. And, of course, this had to go to the Vatican for that kind of approval, and that's a great thing. And it goes into effect today. Now, I was looking at the logo. It's on a white board. There's the M for Mary, and around the M are 12 stars, right? This comes from the book of Revelation, that Mary was seen in the heavens with 12 stars around her head. It's also from the European Union flag of 1954, which has those 12 gold stars on a blue background, because 1854 was a Marian year in the church. Isn't that interesting? So you've got that connection between the Catholic Church and the Catholics here. So that's it. It's a decree for our audience is a formal declaration by the bishop. It has juridical significance to it. And from here on out, every year on October 9th, it will be a solemnity at the shrine, that Mass, which puts it on the level of feast days that we're very familiar with, such as Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, All Saints Day, right? So it's a big, big feast day.
That's fascinating. You know, something you said I think is worth diving into a little bit more. The seeds of Relevant Radio were actually planted in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 30 miles outside of Champion. And it's almost as if though Relevant is also carrying the mission of Sister Adele.
Sure.
Our Lady, when she appeared to Sister Adele, said, gather the children in this wild country and teach them what they need to know for salvation. And as His Excellency was just talking about, he says, there's almost three points that surround this message. Knowing the catechism, teaching the children the sign of the cross Our Lady had asked for, and the importance of the sacrament. I think this apparition is so prevalent for our time. It's so important for our time.
Right.
And I think Relevant Radio can give voice to something that Our Lady wanted in 1859, because I think the message is ever, ever relevant.
Sure. Remember when the bishop declared or approved the apparition back in 2009, we made a video on that, right?
Yep.
And the closing shot of the video is down in the crypt where the apparition had taken place. There's a stained glass window of the Sacred Heart behind that. And I looked in the camera and I said, why here? Why now?
Right.
All right, so this apparition took place 160 years ago, okay? So why did it take so long to approve it? Why now? And I just thought, you know, the message of that apparition and the mission of Relevant Radio joined at the hip. We're only 20 miles down the road.
Yep.
And that's why a few months later, after the apparition was approved, I was the master of ceremonies of the annual men's conference in Green Bay. You've spoken there before, right?
Yes, I have.
And at the end of the conference, I said to the guys, hey, guys, listen up. I'm about to do something you're not supposed to do. Or that really got their attention. Like, what's he going to do? I said, I have an idea, but I am not taking responsibility for it. Right? That's what you're not supposed to do. If it's your idea, you take responsibility for it. I said, I've got an idea, and I'm not taking responsibility for it. And here's the idea. Now that this shrine has been approved, the apparition is approved, somebody, not me, needs to organize an annual walking pilgrimage in the month of May, because that's what they do to these shrines in Poland and France and Italy and Spain and Mexico. And it should start at the headquarters of Relevant Radio in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and go all the way out to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, now known as Our Lady of Champion. And it fell on the heart and mind of Pat Depre and Tom Schmidt, and they actually approved it. They said, let's start at the National Shrine of St. Joseph at St. Norbert College in De Pere and go all the way to the Shrine. Well, you know, it's coming up the 10th annual, and there's going to be thousands and thousands of people there. They come from all over the country. It's amazing.
Yeah, be a great
day. Get on a flight from San Diego to get into Milwaukee, rent a car, drive up there. They're not going to a play on Broadway. They're not going to Disneyland on the rides. They're coming to walk 21 miles and pray the rosary. It's just amazing. I remember some years ago, I caught up with one of my former students. He was in the Marines. He says, so what's new with you? This, that, and the other thing. I'm doing the Walk to Mary this weekend. He said, what's the Walk to Mary? I said, it's a 21-mile walk. And he dropped his fork. He said, dude, that's a long walk. All right, that's what a Marine said. Dude, that's a long walk. And I said, yeah, 4,000 people do it. He couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It's,
and so, you know, hats off to everyone.
Well, you're sunburned and blistered. I'll just throw that out here. When you're done.
Yeah, you're done. You're toast.
I mean, you are.
It's, you know, but you love
I'm
it.
I'm talking about you personally. I've never done all 21.
Yeah. No, I've done it 8 times. The only 2 times I didn't do it was the very first year because I had to go to a wedding. So John Cavill and Bill Rass and I, we said, okay, we got to do something. Yeah. So the day before, we took our bikes to the Carmelite Monastery in Denmark, which is 22 miles away. And we put our backpacks on with thousands of scapulars that we're going to distribute in the pledge drive the next week. And we rode our bikes up there. Wow. It was a tough ride because we had probably a 20-mile-an-hour wind from the north coming in our face. We really had to battle up. Going back was a breeze. Yeah. Going back was a breeze. And another year, I couldn't do it because I had to go to a funeral. So after that, I told all my friends, look, if you're going to get married, if you're going to die, don't do it in the first week of May.
You have to walk to Mary. That's why.
Walk to Mary. So I tell people, if you want a spouse, if you want a house, if you want a baby, don't say maybe. Come to the Walk to Mary on May 6th. We'll see a lot of people out there.
Yeah, it's one of the things today a lot of people are struggling with is infertility. I hear it about a lot here.
Yes.
There seems to be a charism with this particular shrine. I'm sure there's lots of different miracles, but you know of many, many babies that have been born as a result of
I think we know of 9 testimonials we've heard on air, and whenever we get a prayer intention, the family rosary across America, I'm sure you do it during the chaplet too, just say, hey, go do the Walk to Mary. I'm just telling you what I've seen, right? So the first one, several years ago, I met this older couple. They were doing the Walk to Mary, and I said, wow, this is amazing. What do I do? Well, we're doing our Thanksgiving for our daughter. Mm-hmm. She had a baby. Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, no, she had had 5 miscarriages, and she was really, really discouraged. Wow. So she came out here last year and did the Walk to Mary, and now she's got a healthy baby. Yeah. I said, hot dog, isn't that something? I met her later, and a little baby, and then since that time, I think we've had like 9 of those. Yeah. I met this one couple one year with their 10-year-old son. They were standing there waiting for me after Mass, just big smiles, like they, you know, it was clear they wanted to talk to me. Yep. I said, hi, what's your name? Oh, don't you remember us? We called in. And how can you remember it all, right? And our family was breaking apart, and we wanted to get a divorce. And you told our son, have the whole family do the Walk to Mary. And they were there beaming. You know, Our Lady had given that miracle of grace of a change of heart, right? That's what you need, that change of heart.
From babies to houses to new jobs. I mean, you hear tons of those type of miracles. It's an anointed place, too, because not only were the seeds of Relevant planted there, but as we talked about, you have this National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. But it begins at the National Shrine of St. Joseph, and most people don't know that's actually located in De Pere, Wisconsin.
Right. That's a very festival atmosphere. Yeah. You gather at 6 or 7 in the morning. It's usually kind of cool that time of year because it's, you know, northern. But, you know, we pray to Our Lady of Fair Skies for good weather. And you see all sorts of people there. You see some families who have children who have special needs, cerebral palsy, and they push them the whole 21 miles on their wheelchairs or in the carts, whatever it is. You know, so I want to encourage people to come out to Our Lady of Champion. And it doesn't have anything to do with the Green Bay Packers being champions. I'm sure of it.
It's a title town, right? What an appropriate name for Our Lady, Our Lady of Champion. One other side note here, Father, it also struck me, one thing we didn't really talk about. Our Lady, when she appeared to Adele, asked for conversion, right? She asked for prayer. She warned of a great chastisement that would befall the area if we did not respond. And like so many other historical apparitions, we saw this failure. 12 years to the date, we had the great Peshtigo fire the same day as the Chicago fire. And it was the rosary. And I think this is another important aspect we need to talk about, is what that's the prayer they prayed for divine protection as that fire moved in, was
that's
about to exterminate everybody in the in
that's
that perimeter.
Right, because it got to the little chapel and the fire was coming from the west and the wind was, you know, strong. And so Adele, Sister Adele, picked up the statue of Our Lady and took it to the western perimeter of the property, and they're praying the rosary. And then the wind moved to the north and went to the northern border. And so what happened was it was like a spontaneous procession around the border of the property all night long praying the rosary. There are two things very specific from this apparition in terms of what the Blessed Mother said that I don't think have been said in any other apparition. Very, very specific things. One is teach the children how to make the sign of the cross. Yep. And I'm going, oh, come on, that's so basic.
I know.
You know, but there's a lot of people who call themselves Catholic and they don't know how to make the sign of the cross because they don't practice a faith in their family. It's come to that. That's what Pope Francis said. Grandparents, teach your children how to make the sign of the cross. It's that basic. The other thing that really stuck out is Our Lady said to Adele, you've gone to Mass, you've received communion, that's well, but you need to do more. You need to make a general confession.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yep. All right, that's like hitting the reset button on your soul. It is confronting your fears. It is a claim to be humble and to have a real new beginning. So those are great things that we want to encourage all of our listeners to do. Teach the children how to make the sign of the cross and make a general confession.
I was always struck by that because she says, you know, it's not enough you received communion. You said you need to go to confession. And the mission was to spread the word. John Paul II says it's not enough to know Christ. You have to share him with others. You have to bring him to others. That's our mission. Father, I have a minute left, so let me just give you the final thoughts. First of all, thank you for being here.
Yeah, everybody wants to know how many miles you're going to walk this year.
The $1 million. Well, you got to come to the Walk to Mary to find out.
And the spaghetti dinner the night before is sold out.
Patrick Madrid and his wife Nancy, Kathy, and I will be there both at the dinner. We're both going to be making the walk, so it'll be good to see everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to bring a couple of red wagons, one for you and one for Patrick, be dragging across.
You can pull this. Father's done the 21 miles more times than I can count.
Oh, okay, but folks, read the directions. Get that moleskin on your feet and your big
plenty
toe.
Of water.
Change your socks at mile 14. Drink
sunscreen,
and take an Advil every 7 miles. It's a piece of cake.
Well, Father, thank you for being here with us.
Great day for the church.
Pray for us, Father's
Our Lady of Champion.
Amen. What a great day. So a very significant day. Our gratitude to His Excellency Bishop David Rickett. He'll be joining us here on Relevant Radio at 3:30 after the chapel a little bit later.
Great.
So we'll dive into that. Stay tuned. We're going to go back to the Patrick Madrid Show on behalf of Father and myself. May God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.